This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Well, what is Murich Meg? Not man, Murich man. We're Murich Marmon.
Yep.
We're Murich men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Oh, good morning, this is Murich Mag, 92.1 RTRFM. Jimbo and Nick.
Good morning, Jimbo. Good morning, listeners.
That's good to be back in black.
It is. It is. After a long week of... Are you back with us, Jim?
Yeah, I just figured now. Good on you, Georgia. The microphone is upside down, inside out, and back to front. Well, that's the way it goes. Sometimes we are inside out, back to front, and... Anyway, good morning.
I guess we can't blame it on a long NAIDOC week, could we, Jim?
We certainly can.
Okay, we will, righty, no worries. But we'll find our rhythm and we'll get back into it.
Now, this is a microphone sitting in front of me. Look, we had to play that. That's Harold Blair. Now, who is Harold Blair? In 1941, when the number of Aborigines who had broken through the white society could be counted on one hand, Harold Blair emerged from the repressive Queensland Reserve system to become the last renowned Australian tenor of the concert hall era. Touted by the media as the first Aborigine to sing opera and held up as a model of assimilation. Harold never shied away from the politics of being black. He explored the uncharted territory of assimilation, unassisted by infrastructures or notions of self-determination, Paul Robeson, he's been likened to here. Who's Paul Robeson? He was a black singer too. He was proof that blacks lacked choice nor intelligence. And like Robeson, his insistence on talking about rights for his people had consequences on his career. Yes, yeah, sadly, he passed away overseas, Nick, and there was an ABC documentary that the broader community has seen in the 1970s. And that song there is a famous piece, from what I understand. Nessun Dorma.
Nessun Dorma. Yes, it refreshed my memory about the tunes and how it was sung.
So, Murich Marmon here, Nick and Jim, talking about another Murich Marmon, although Queenslander. And we talked a bit about Queensland last week, Nick.
Did we?
We did.
Sorry,
Wages.
I was in
Oh, yes. You weren't here.
True, I was...
You were swanning around with those swans up in York.
Up in York, yeah.
Oh, no, the swans were in Northern, eh?
Well...
Not far. Yeah, well, last week we talked a bit about Queensland because in the Queensland press, or in the press locally also, in the ABC, the ABC covered a story on the Queensland community and Shine Lawyers and their win for stolen wages. It amounts to $190 million.
All right.
That should have been $500 million. Was it $500 million? A lot of money, but it's been said that $600 million could be owed to Aboriginal people in Western Australia.
So is that a indicator of our mob in WA and
It's a big arc there, Nick. What happened in Queensland? Because Shine said that there was going to be a class action next April, and for some reason it's been settled out of court. Now, the last 2 weeks we've had Jan Sattler from Shine talk to us.
Yes.
And they're now deliberating on where to from here. So they've been to WA, they've talked to people in Kalgoorlie, Port Hedland, Broome, and in Perth, people who... may have had their wages taken, because up until 1970, 75% of wages were taken.
And it would be very hard for a lot of our mob to track that.
Well, what the lawyers are saying too, that the records would indicate that everyone got their wages.
True, that's what the records say. And it's interesting what the record would say.
Yeah, so anyway. We hear a lot about flour, sugar and tea. And that's how our people were paid.
They were paid through.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the records would show that we got full wages.
Full wages, which is rations.
So we've been promoting it through RTR and Noongar Radio, and hopefully our people will get to make the call. And, of course, the call is to shine. And what our listeners will need to do, if they're interested in making a claim or talking to legal people about what is happening with what the inquiry might be, they will need to ring 1800, that's 1800 751 969. So if you're listening out there and you're curious about stolen wages, and you might have some Aboriginal friends who are probably over 60, 70, remember that prior to 1970, wages were kept from Aboriginal people and put into trust. So 1800 751 969 is the number to ring. So those listeners on Noongar Radio and RTR FM, take note of that number, and we'll be keeping you posted on how that's progressing. We won't know for some time yet how the situation is in WA. We understand that there's enough information to go forward with a court action. What that means is whether it's a class action or settlement out of court, we don't know. Nick, just for your information, we know that through the inquiry into stolen wages back in 2012, we know that $63 million was kept from workers from the Moore River Native Settlement alone.
One settlement alone.
One settlement. And we've had Harold Riley talk on the program, and he said something like $600 million might have been kept.
Okay, but there's no real clarity or clarity.
No, there's no clarity.
Actual amount, other than an estimation.
Yeah, what the lawyers are saying, that if it should be settled out of court, because a class action means a lot more information needs to be investigated. And we've been fortunate that we've had someone on the East Coast fund the operation to the tune of $12 million. And five barristers have been working for a couple of years on this compensation. The same group, Shine Lawyers, were involved in the Palm Island case, where Palm Islanders got $30 million for that awful day several years ago, where there was a big presence of police on
Palm Island.
On Palm Island. And I think the area of concern for me, and should be for everyone, is if they don't get involved and don't register, they will miss out on the redress. Reparation, compensation. So this is a big thing for us, and a lot of the people that I've spoken to over the last 6 months, they sort of look at you as if you're an alien, because there's no real foundation, or a lot of our people are thinking, well, okay, are we going to get compensated? Well, we know that's a difficult ask for our people to try and comprehend. And There's a lot more to this than meets the eye. There's 60,000 potential victims of the Royal Commission into institutional child sex abuse. And a barrister friend told me that only 88 people have been compensated.
88.
So you think about all the trauma that our people are living with. And not just talking about Aboriginal people. The Royal Commission was about all institutional child sex abuse. And, are we waiting for people to die before they're compensated? Will their descendants be eligible for this compensation? These are the questions that we need to ask. But this is Moorish Mag.
It is Moorish Mag.
You've had a week off?
I didn't have a week off, just from the radio, but at least I still phoned in.
Oh, look, it was a fun show. Georgia got involved. And
I did hear her in the background.
Yeah.
Talking about that magic statue over there, and apparently my name got put onto it.
Yes, we talked about Nicky Winmar and the amazing unveiling of that statue.
There's always light at the end of the tunnel.
There is.
Where we are, there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
And let's talk to Oral about that. Oral, we just played a great version of Radical Sun, The Change Is Gonna Come. And who was one of the original singers? Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke.
So a bit of blues here today, brother. How are you?
Yeah, Moorish. Ross, yeah.
Moorish.
Moorish. Been a good couple of days down here.
Excellent. We'll get you to give a report. Listeners, Oral McGuire is Strong Noongar Man.
Noongar Balarong Man, yeah.
Yeah, and he was on the program a month ago, I guess.
It was interesting that we usually ask our guests to introduce themselves, but we're just talking about you,
Oral, while you're on the line. Good morning, Oral. How are you, Oral?
Very well, thank you, Jimmy and Nikki.
So good.
Thank you for inviting me on again.
Good. Yes. Well, the last time I think you got lost in traffic, so the Black Track has now found you again, and we saw you yesterday. I thought we grabbed you by the ear and said, "Listen, brother, you're going to finish part two of your discussion." So we'll talk about that, but we should get you to give a bit of an overview of what you're doing down at the University of WA as well. So, go on then. So part two?
Well, what's it about?
What was part one about?
Part one of it was about, the cultural journey that a lot of us Noongar Marmot entered into, both on a personal and a collective level, and we embarked on a couple of camps together, which were very powerful. So coming together as a group, particularly a cultural group of men, is something that I think we must do more of. I think it's one of the very significant and very integral parts of who we are as Noongar people, as Aboriginal people, and I think culturally, it's something that will absolutely ensure, you know, the levels or at least the journey back towards the cultural survival of both our language, our ways, ourselves as men, you know, particularly as Noongar men. So I think it's a really important journey, and it's a really important decision that we've made as a collective to continue that journey in support of each other.
So these men's camps, then, are they going to take place for the balance of the year, or are we talking a bit further ahead next year, Oral?
Look, I think it's, to be totally honest, Jimmy, I think it's something that, myself, David Collard, Richard Wally, and the board at WALI, which is the Aboriginal Leadership Institute. So Angie, I just spoke with just the other day, and she has said that there are now five more programs that is available for us to continue with the program that we've started. So the answer to your question, I think it's going to continue, throughout the rest of this year, and then most definitely into probably the next couple of years, which is fantastic. So, part of the problem is always resourcing these things. I mean, not that we need a lot of resources, but it's putting some structure around it. I think that's what we had agreed to do, just so that we have a continuity from one gathering to the next, that we're not just, as I said, I think in the first session that I had with you guys, was that we didn't want to just come together, and as good as social gatherings are, we wanted to put some structure to it, particularly around cultural survival, cultural relearning and cultural reconnection. And on country, of course. Yeah.
Good. And your property up at York was used, and now we're looking for alternative. I guess the challenge for us men then is the endless sport obligations we have with family, grandkids and children and what have you, and the ability to be able to say to family, well, look, old boy's off now for a couple of days. So that's partly one of the challenges. So I guess we'll be heading to a time when sporting commitments aren't as strong, so I'll be looking for that period, and when weather warms up, I suppose. Is that what we're thinking, Oral?
Oh, look, I think it's more to do with the weather. I think, we don't want to discourage, or we don't want to, have it at a time where we don't get some of our older and less well men, because obviously they are critical, particularly the old fellas, to this process. So, this time of the year, a lot of our old fellas struggle with the cold. So that's a consideration, but it's probably more to do with the logistics of, what we're planning and what we're doing, and getting, ensuring that that when we say we're going to run a camp or run a program, that we've got it well structured, well resourced, and we're ready to go when we set dates or when we get out to the community to say, this is what's happening on the date, make sure you turn up, because we understand everyone's got commitments, and it includes all of us individually and collectively. So, but it is about priority. It is about decisions and choices that we've got to make. And I just think that from the turnout for, you know, the camps that we've already had and the gatherings we've already had, it's not a real issue. I think people understand, you know, that those that make a decision not to turn up for their family reasons or, child and family reasons, everyone understands that. So no one makes any judgments about who turns up and who doesn't. It's really about come along and participate, and it's a journey that you as an individual travel, and hopefully, well, what we know is that some of the issues, some of the concerns, some of the restraints and constraints that that we all have is shared collectively, because we all are struggling with the same thing. So, you know, that's one of the great things, and particularly as men, I think just growing, you know, I know the women are, and the great thing is the women now are doing the same on a significant level. So it is a great thing that's happening within our community, is this, you know, the reconnection to culture and the strength of, you know, the gender-based aspects of who mm-hmm. we are as Noongar and Aboriginal people. And that's really important in a cultural sense. I mean, gender equity is great, and, you know, being conscious of gender equity is absolutely important. And no one ever says, I don't think, in a cultural sense, that that, you know, it's all about men or it's all about women. Our culture was always about equal measures. Our old women absolutely who play a different role, and our women generally play a different role, but it's absolutely as significant and equal in terms of its value and the contribution that both genders make to, you know, to the clan, to the family, to our morgue.
Yes, and I'm just thinking about the putting an analogy there, Oral, and you know, putting it back into sporting terms, and I guess in a football terms that we're all familiar with, and that is that you know, when you're going to play a game against the opposition, you can only put on the field who shows up.
Yeah,
so right. So yeah. You know, the ones that, and hopefully we have that nucleus of people that are showing up at the time, and we have new people coming in and others that can't make it at the time, but we still can only run basically out on the field with who shows up on the day.
It is a good analogy, and I think it's, you know, the important thing with I guess the way that we're going about it is putting some structure there. Well, you know, it's sort of being managed and facilitated by a core group of, you know, Noongar men and Noongar leaders, and so the continuity of what we're, you know, delivering and what we're participating in, you know, is there. So, you know, I don't think what we're trying to sort of mitigate against is, you know, that one of us or only a few of us, you know, or no elders are turning up to, you know, to these gatherings, because that diminishes, I guess, you know, the purpose program of what we're trying to do. So we try to work, you know, there's a lot of flexibility there, you know, black fellas alike. We don't, you know, whilst we say we want to put structure there, it's really around the cultural aspects. So,
yeah.
You know, there's lots of enthusiasm, and there's lots of, you know, we've never been short of participation or participants. Yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, yep. It's very encouraging.
Oral, do we give out your numbers, or we've given Warang, Dave Collard's number out in the past. Will we maintain that, or would you like to your number to be public when we're to Noongar radio listeners?
Preferably yeah, Dave. I think the best way is through Wally. Jimmy, think that, you know, because the Wally have got the capacity to take calls and inquiries and to gather up, you know, the information and details of people who have those inquiries and interests. So,
okay.
And then it's central, you know, and it's rather than, yeah, otherwise.
Okay, so we'll promote that in the future. Then not necessarily today. Today was just about an information session and finishing off part two of the program. But whilst we've got you, though, the program that you've attended, that Nick and I attended yesterday, Dunju, walking together. Would you like to give a bit of an update of what's happening down there today, Oral, please?
Yeah. So this is one of the social impact festivals that have been run for a number of years now by UWA. I think the last one that I attended was on the focus was on the business aspects and the commercial and business aspects of the social impacts theme. This one's, you know, walking together. It's taken a really significant step forward from a cultural, particularly a Noongar sense, in that we had a couple initially. It then was suggested that four significant Noongar people, two men and two women, step up and actually take the lead from UWA to lead this social impact festival for 2019, hence the Noongar name of Walking Together, Don't You Grilling. So Noel Nanna, Richard Wally, Colleen Hayward and Carol Innes must all be recognised as significant leaders in the sense that this social impact festival in 2019 is led by Aboriginal people, by Noongar people, and it's led with a cultural focus and a cultural values, I guess, perspective around what the social impact theme has generally been about, run by UWA. So it's been a fantastic program. Yesterday, I think the mob finished at 5:30 last night with a Mika Murak full moon session with Noel and Richard leading a discussion and a gathering down on Matilda Bay, watching the full moon rise and I guess enjoying, you know, just the spirit of our old Mika, we say in language. So that you know, that cultural aspect was a really important way to finish off the day yesterday. And today there's lots of yarning circles, so it's all very very much focused on, you know, Noongar and Aboriginal issues around yarning circles, and everything from food and youth and education and culture and language. A lot of the themes that you know, that are being discussed by everybody that's here, and, you know, just walking in, amongst people here, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, the response is enormous in terms of people's how people are moved in a way, just by the privilege of many of them being part of the conversation and being in the room with, you know, with others. And that's a great thing. I think, you know, when we can have that sort of an impact on people personally, you know, if we can do that, you know, in a far greater way as a collective, the social impact, you know, barometer goes upwards and, you know, spikes very, very sharply. And I think that's about, you know, that's how change is going to occur, particularly from an Aboriginal and a Noongar perspective, is we need change, and we need change, you know, as immediate as we can make it. So the theme is still continuing with NAIDOC from last week of voice, treaty and truth. And it's really about, you know, the festival is focused on those key themes, or that key theme, to see what impacts, you know, what is the plan. And and so the focus of the 2 days is really about the 10-year plan that we as a nation, certainly as a state, are going to move towards 2029. So we've got 10 years, because we know that in 2029, what we don't want is a repeat, particularly in this state, of the bicentennial back in 1988, where Aboriginal people were literally, and even the 2000 Olympic Games, Aboriginal people were written almost right out of the celebration itself. So this 2 day program is really focusing on walking together, as Dungeon Pulling suggests, to develop a plan to say, what is the social impact over the next 10 years for 2029, when we want all of us as Australians and West Australians to be a part of the full celebration of our bicentennial year.
Oral, thank you for your time. It's been, seems like a long time that you were on the program, part one, and it's good to have you back in black and talking about...
It was only a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, probably a bit more than that. So thank you. Thanks, Oral Maguire, that's for right. being no a part of Moodish Mag. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. Oh, yes, back with us now at Moodish Mag, RTRFM. Jim and Nick, hey, I've been reading, it's come across my desk this week, the Perth-San Diego First Nations Exchange Program happening next year. Cultural exchange.
Okay, that's interesting to... hear that?
Well, yeah, the city is plans to have a relationship, and it's a long way off, 2020, but there's a reciprocal exchange.
2020 is only about 6 months away.
Yeah, reciprocal exchange by hosting visiting artists from the Sikirin tribe, and Noongar Whadjuk. It's looking at cultural diversity, celebrating our cultural diverse identity and maintaining culture, developing the practice of local Indigenous creatives and cultural leaders, and promoting Perth as an important cultural tourism destination. It's a 2 to 4 week program, and eligible applicants who are interested, if they're interested, must be a creative native sorry, an Aboriginal creative and cultural organisation, or an Aboriginal business with a cultural heritage focus and have a strong connection to Whadjuk Noongar country. I said Creative Native because there is a business, in the mall called Creative Native. So think about this one, though.
Yep.
Oh, Nick?
No. What's the next bit?
Well, applications will open in August 2019 and close 3rd of September. Successful applicants will be notified on the 30th of October. But this is all happening next year.
So what are they applying for again, just for our listeners?
To be involved in any, if they've got cultural
activities.
If they're creative.
Okay, So they apply to be part of this official process.
Yeah. So we're just flagging it now. We'll have more news as the time progresses. But an interesting activity, First Nations Cultural Exchange Program.
And I would just hope that it's transparent and available to our community out there, because there's a lot of our community out there that are doing a lot of wonderful things.
They are.
And want to be involved in this stuff. So hopefully is an opportunity for them to be involved.
Yep. So, well, flagging it now, so on RTRFM and Noongar Radio. So they're looking at creative Aboriginal people and organisations, or an Aboriginal business. And, you know, we can think of obvious Aboriginal business that have been on the program already.
Mm-hmm.
So with a strong cultural heritage focus and have a strong connection to Whadjuk Noongar country.
Yes.
So City of Perth, it's on their website.
Yeah, City of Perth, they are making a lot of headway in terms of connecting back to, you know, to Whadjuk and the Noongar people and cultural concepts. So take my hat off to them. Keep up that good work. Perhaps it may be a little bit later than, it's best later than never.
Never than later. Yeah.
Well, that's
later
the word I was looking for. But at least I guess we have to be on the board, or taking these opportunities. So how could we keep putting our place back into our budget?
Yes, we hope they can stay focused. There's issues there with City Council. But as you know, Nick, they've been talking to Stolen Generation groups around a memorial site of Wellington Square. And the whole Wellington Square project is with heavy discussion with Whadjuk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see that they are involved. I mean, the city is, well, a lot of people are saying, and the press is talking about it these days, there's a lot of dullness around the city. People are giving up their leases, and there seems to be a lot of empty spaces. So it has a lot, there's a lot of work to be done to revitalise the city. I think even recently there was a lot of money that goes into parking. I saw a figure of $74 million a year goes into parking.
Yeah, can't comment on that because I haven't.
Yeah. No, well, I think it was just a paper yesterday. They make $74 million a year for parking. I mean, that's huge.
A lot of money.
So there is an argument that perhaps we're too business orientated, and anyway,
but yes, interesting. But I won't comment on any of that stuff yet because I think
But we'll promote this activity and probably drips and drabs, but just keep you posted. Those budding artists that are listening to our show, whether it be here on or Noongar Radio, need to be informed, because a lot of artists don't necessarily get the right information. So stay tuned to Moody Schmag here on RTR and also Noongar Radio. Time is running out, and we've got to say goodbye.
Already?
Yeah, Nick and I are taking off to a funeral, sadly, this afternoon down at Fremantle. So we're going to close off the show today. Thank you for listening in, tuning in to 92.1, Moonich Mag on 92.1.
Thank you for listening to this RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. Visit rtrfm.com.au for more podcasts and other great content, as well as details on how you can support the station. You can also download our app and access RTRFM anytime and anywhere on your mobile device.